Hi, y'all. I'm Julie.
Hi there. I'm Brenda. Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side.
Now, y'all need to know that we're obsessed with everything on the other side.
Yes, we are. Because once you learn to navigate the energetic, or to some, the invisible world, life is going to be more fun and much more serene.
Heck yes, it can. Because let's be honest, Bryn, Earth School is hard. In fact, you taught me that.
Let's crush Earth School together.
Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, my witchy poo. How are you today?
Hello, my elf. I'm doing great. How are you?
You know, I'm doing so fabulous because I've now hit the 6.5 month marker on keto.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. The first time in my diet-filled life that I have found something that I love and I don't crave other things.
And it loves you back.
It totally loves me back. In fact, it loves me so much that it gave me a keto-style peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So for those that care, you get some zero-carb bread, sugar-free jam, and some peanut butter. And if you really want a little extra sweetness to it, add a little bit of trivia, more trivia to it. And I'm telling you, I am like a kid. I get so excited to have my keto-style peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I'm so happy for you, my elf.
It's so good. And I'll give you all a bonus one. Suzanne last night made fried chicken and she used this like keto breading thing. Oh my God, dip it in ranch. It's like, I don't miss the you regular people food whatsoever. Like we got our own and it is delicious.
Happy elf. I'm
so happy. And she like even brings it up to me in what is now our retail room. And so I want to take a second and I want to thank everybody who have placed orders on our store at insidersguidetotheotherside.com and click on shop for those that don't know and your code for 15% off. And for you guys, I'm just going to keep it on all the time. So you're going to just type in elf and you're going to get 15% off. But I'm telling you what I love so much about it is that we're getting these really powerful stones, these combinations of stones out to people. And I spend more time packing them and I write everybody a special note. And those who have received theirs already know that you get extra goodies from me when I do it, like, well, every time.
But I
get to touch them. I get to touch rocks for hours every night and I couldn't be happier. So
that's
I
so
am
great.
Just, I am thrilled these days.
And you guys are getting good stuff. Oh my God, it's going to be so great. You're going to love it.
I know. I just love it so much. And so I hope everybody who gets their packages are loving them as much as I have loved to actually pack them up for them. Okay, there's my housekeeping. Do you have any keto recipes, Brenda, you want to share with anybody? Have you been packing up anything that you need to tell us about?
No.
No? We're just going to move on to what the real episode's about. Okay. So for the past year plus, you know, we've woven in the importance of and a variety of rituals, but we haven't actually focused on an episode dedicated to rituals. And it's, what's interesting is that it seems to be the root of a lot of the questions that we get from people because they're looking like, how can I shift? How can I change things? And the first place I always go is, well, let's create a ritual for you, you know, or create one for yourself or whatever it may be.
And, you know, just the human nature is always searching for that pathway to move us to where we want to be. And when you are opening up to this spiritual world, where you want to focus, of course, is looking for that higher frequency, that higher vibration that you can embody. How can I connect with the other side and have more access to my spirit guides, my spirit people, my loved ones, the divine, whatever it is? And the way to get there is often through ritual. And you know, for eons and cultures, we've gathered to create these pathways and activate them. So I'm not surprised that people are always asking about it.
Right, it makes sense.
We've been fascinated by it for so long.
Yeah. Well, and it's one of those things, because I'm going to go a little nerdy on us, because I can't help myself.
Shocked by this?
I know I can't, because I just, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I do this because it entertains me. I hope that you, our dear listeners, actually care just a tiny bit.
We're going to have another origin story. I can feel it coming.
Yeah, we are. Of course we are, because this is like the Iron Man one moment for the practice of rituals. So this is Iron Rituals.
You know, in all the rituals I've done in my decades, I've never invoked Iron Man. I just want to say this, it must be an outage on my part.
Welcome. I don't know what's wrong with you.
Exactly. I'll work on that.
You need to work on Iron Man because it's the best origin story ever. Sorry, everybody. I've said Iron Man I don't know how many times on this show. But
a lot.
It is truly one of my favorite origin stories, though. So as I wrote in my book, and I try not to bring up too much stuff about my book all the time because I don't want everybody to think that I'm like kind of shamelessly promoting it, which I'm actually not. But in this case, there's in the very back of the book, there's some, I think, really relevant pieces for folks. But I'm going to read you what I wrote, and it's going to kind of get us into, I think, the flow of this conversation. So I wrote, every culture has rituals. They connect us to our traditions, our sense of self, and more importantly, to a higher source.
It's really beautiful. So a holistic ribbon just wrapped right around it.
Right? Yeah. The end. No, I'm just kidding.
I hope you enjoyed our ritual conversation.
Goodbye. No. So, and then I added some of us go to church, mosque, or temple for this. Others shy away from any organized form of ritual, seeking alternative ways to connect to something greater than themselves or not. Either way, rituals are an inescapable part of life.
I'm going to push back on that a little bit.
So I'm going to warn everybody. Brent and I actually had a little pre-talk about this, and there's going to be some disagreements. So buckle up.
Because rituals are completely escapable. If you go through your life enamored with the physicality and not looking for a pathway to connect in with something greater, you don't need a stinking ritual.
Then I need to call Simon and Schuster and get my damn book. Although I'm a little pissed off because you read through it so many times and you did not correct that.
Well, because it was your perspective. I wasn't going to.
Whatever. You corrected other things.
But I corrected other things because they were technically incorrect.
Because they were flat out wrong. Okay. More on Brenda correcting me and my work later.
It's
a whole other episode.
I'm just saying you can go through a whole beautiful life that's fulfilling and perfect for you without having rituals. I'm just saying it's possible. I wouldn't say it's recommended.
I think you're right. Yeah, no, that's totally fair. It's not an inescapable part, but it's totally fair what you're saying.
People who are going to buy the ghost photographer, for people who are searching, the people who are listening to this podcast, they're going to be interested in knowing more about rituals. but I just think it's important to tease it out to make sure we're clear about what we're inviting people into.
Right.
To consider, to create. Right. Yeah.
And so. I can say that the rituals in my life have changed my life so drastically. So I am a walking case study that it shouldn't be escapable.
It's not recommended for sure.
It is not recommended.
Yes. And, you know, for me, my life is full and changing and sometimes overcommitted. And where I would be without my ritual. Did you just laugh at me?
I did. They all don't know. I work with you all the time and I know how busy you are and how hard it is to get you. So I know how busy you are and how overcommitted you are.
She just spit into our microphone.
I did.
But my point is, without my rituals, to keep me upright, I would be a mess.
You'd be terrible at your work too.
I would be terrible at my work. Yeah. I would be cranky pants and I'd probably be sick.
Yes.
So without my rituals, because they center me, ground me, clear me, and hook me up to the highest. That's what they do. And that's our invitation.
It is our invitation. But in my on-brand fashion, I have to go back to the origin story.
I was just going to say the origin story.
So, I do. I have to go back to it because I went a-Googling. And for the origin of rituals. I just want to know where things come from. It's just how my brain works. So I'll make this part fast, but I think it's interesting is what I thought was interesting, although I wasn't surprised, is that there are a number of, we're going to call them experts, because I think they are, that actually traced, because they were interested in this in like the 17, 1800s. Like they wanted to understand where rituals came from. People like Sigmund Freud. Actually, was one of the club members of wanting to trace back this. There's another guy named Robertson Smith, who was a British biblical scholar from the late 1800s that wanted to learn where rituals came. Like, so people want to know where things come from. But the part that wasn't surprising to me is that it was traced back to our pre-literate days of our species. So these are days when all we could do maybe is draw pictures, you know, and even probably before we could do pictures. Are you going to argue with that?
Well, I am going to argue with that.
I love it. This is such a good episode. Go, argue.
Well, because, I mean, the rituals go back to, you know, pre-literate. That didn't have anything to do with rituals, right? Because when we would gather and, you know, whether it was an eclipse where the entire community went through the entire experience together. Some people would hide under a rock. Other people would go out and, you know, whatever. But like we would have a ritual together to gather and experience it together and didn't have anything to do with writing things down, right? So 1800s is not old. Like when you're talking like 200.
Right. Well, these are the guys from the 1800s that were interested and wanted to trace
them. They were studying what was. Right. But I just want people to know anytime we gathered with two or more, we were somehow, you know, able to create a ritual if that's what we were looking for. You didn't always, right? But sometimes when we gather to create meaning in our world,
right,
that we were gathering to create rituals.
There's some really interesting cave carvings in Sedona. Have you ever been out there? It's by the very fancy resort called, I can't remember, Enchanted Resort. And you go out hiking and there are these amazing cave drawings because this was the group of the natives from Mexico that came up when they were actually doing all the human sacrifices in Mexico. And so they migrated north and they ended up in this area around Sedona. And you can see in these cave drawings, because I only bring this up because you talk about an eclipse. Mm-hmm. And you can actually see that they were drawing eclipse, and you see they were drawing people like on one knee. Mm-hmm. There was something ritualistic about what they were doing.
Oh,
and that is most definitely a pre-literate stage.
Yes.
Because these are nerdy scientists that I was reading about. So they use words like pre-literate and things like that. But it's like, it's really fascinating when you go and start looking at the cave. I mean, there's cave drawings obviously all over the world, but it says so mm-hmm. much. And it were things like an eclipse or mm-hmm. food. Water, all these like necessities.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was really fascinating.
And drought, all kinds of things. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. What they were talking about is that these experts talking about the remains that have been found and the symbols of human and frankly animal sacrifices, because what they were talking about was the first kind of what they would claim a ritual were the sacrificing of humans and animals.
Well, because they wanted to, because fear drove it, right? You've taken away our light, our warmth. Right. And so if we sacrifice something we care about to please you, you will return it to us, right? So it wasn't careless, right? Which is a really important element of creating significant rituals. It was very intentional and purposeful, right? And connecting with the divine. So,
you know, the only things I've sacrificed in my rituals are candles and Palo Santo sticks.
And with that, we will be right back with more on rituals. Thanks, you guys. And welcome back. My elf, are you back? Have you forgiven me?
No, I am not back. I'm in the bathroom. I'm going to broadcast from the bathroom because you keep throwing these damn breaks at me and I don't expect them.
Well, I thought maybe you went to get a peanut butter and jelly keto sandwich.
Oh my God, seriously? After this, I am. For
okay.
real.
So can you finish your thought?
I will finish my thought.
About sacrifices.
About sacrificing candles and Palo Santo. So that's what I sacrifice in my rituals. But it's our origin, right? Like mm-hmm. I'm going to just finish up my whole origin story thing is that it's worth understanding because what I read, it seems like the most important part since the dawn of humankind has been, you know, trying to connect with our God or gods. And I think that's a loose definition. I mean, we've talked about what is a ritual, but that's really where it all started. It's like they were, like you said, they want to replace things that they had lost. They want to connect. I mean, we have a little bit more of a sophisticated way to look at it now because we understand why there is night and why there is day. You know, we realize that we can't kill something to bring something else back. So we have evolved our rituals, but it is still about that connection.
It really is. And when I think about, you know, different rituals that we have, it really is about setting an intention, you know, showing up with devotion, whatever that is for you. Like whatever, I want to create a ritual. Like often people, I'll work with them to create a ritual before they sit to write their book or create their screenplay or whatever they're going to create, whether it's a business or something, some new project that they have deep convictions of for how it's going to serve humanity or heal something or you serve their family or whatever it is. You know, so it can be, it doesn't have to be like, I'm going to create a new broadcasting station. Like it could be something that never leaves your home, but I want to infuse it with this sacred aspect, whatever it is I'm trying to create.
You gave that to Allison Noel on our show with her. You gave her a ritual for her writer's block that she was dealing with. And I don't know if I told you, but she actually wrote another book.
Since then?
Since then, yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
She's extraordinary, so.
Yeah, well, she's definitely extraordinary.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
She's
yeah.
written another book, if not two, but I'm pretty sure one for sure. Since we had that conversation, that was just months ago, but she was able to break through what she was struggling with by adopting a new ritual, that one that you gave her.
So I'm so glad to hear that. That's so great. But people contact me all the time for this, but really what you want to think about, like sit, you know, do, you know, the inner work that says, what am I trying to create? What's my intention that I want to infuse this experience with? Whether it doesn't matter if I'm going on a trip or something I'm going to do externally or something I'm going to do internally. What is my intention and what kind of support am I asking for from the divine? Or what kind of connection do I want to have with the divine? Is it for clarity? Is it for high vibe? Is it for healing? Like, what is it? Because the thing about ritual is you show up with a devoted heart to the cause of what you're creating. Ritual should be about creating sacred space. Now, that doesn't mean that it can't be interwoven with the mundane, right? Like walking Lulu can be completely a sacred connection because I am surrendering to my love for her, my devotion to her. Right. Not that she's my higher being, but she's definitely my puppy.
Well, Sookie's my higher being. I think Sookie's my spirit animal.
No doubt. But my point is like you show up every day to try and have that. It's discipline, right?
And it is totally discipline. Yep.
And, you know, when you do a daily practice, whether it's cooking in the ashrams, they chant over the food to infuse it, to bless it so that it goes on and blesses everyone who ingests it, right? So it's like all of a sudden cooking becomes sacred. It's not just, oh, I got to eat something today, right? And washing dishes and preparing and cleansing, this you can weave that connection to the divine. Let me prepare for the divine aspect of whoever's going to sit at my table, including the divine source, right? But the divine in each one. And so there's a way that you continue, you just keep devoting your heart and your attention to create the sacred. Like that's
I
what
love that. And you know, you said one of my most favorite words ever. And it's not a swear word. It's weird. One of my favorite words is devotion. Mm-hmm. I love that because that's what a ritual feels like to me. So, you know, I like you walk Lulu and that is mm-hmm. that is a ritual for you because you do surrender. I do the same thing with Sookie. In fact, Sookie and I can be seen in my neighborhood every single day, rain, mm-hmm. sleet, or snow. I am mm-hmm. out there with her because that is, it's our ritual because it is that surrendering. It is for her. It helps me because it moves my ass, but it is more about her and having that time and that bonding, and that's a devotion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I totally understand that. So tell me how this sounds because you are in a little argumentative state today.
I just feel very strongly
kidding.
About this.
I know you do, and I'm so glad that you do because that means that our listeners are going to get so much more out of it. When we talk about because, you know, you talk about what is it that you want to achieve. There's also methods, right? I mean, you've talked about how there's chanting over food. There's lots of different methods, right? And so people can choose, like some people choose prayer, right? Prayer mm-hmm. is a method, right? You put your intention into it, but your method is prayer. Mm-hmm. Meditation is another method. Mm-hmm. Even though saying grace, which is a form of prayer, I guess, but mm-hmm. say grace over their food. They're singing. Singing can mm-hmm. definitely be something that can be formed into a ritual, right?
Oh my gosh, yes. And I mean, think about it. All those things you just said, all impact our frequency.
Oh, for sure.
Right? And so when we play music, when we create music, when even if it's just we're playing someone else's music and happen to be in the same place, it hits that emotional body or our energy body, right? The fourth layer and goes right through us. It can absolutely, you know how it is when you can be down in the dumps and all of a sudden you like hit your playlist and you're like, I'm jamming, I've got this. You know?
Listen, yesterday, this is actually kind of a very insider, inside the other guy is what this is. So just so everybody knows, I think I've actually mentioned this before, but Brenda and I, we have a little pre-chat and then, you know, I write up notes. And for this particular episode, I knew it was going to be charged because I know how important it is to you. I also know how hard like defining things can be, and we don't want to lead people astray. And so I needed to really clear. I needed because I was having a hard time. I was sitting at my desk. So I got my little native drum. I have a lot of drums. I love drums. Drumming is a thing for me. And I am like banging on. I'm sitting at my desk. I have this drum in between my legs and I am like jamming. But I also jammed to certain music. So I had Cher playing. don't judge. But if you've ever heard the song Dark Lady, which is about, did you know what song I'm talking about? Dark Lady, you don't, do you? Uh-huh. You need to listen to Cher, Dark Lady. So fantastic because she's talking about like a mystic who reads her cards, but then steals her man and then she shoots him dead. It's fantastic, but it's a really great drumming song. And so I'm there going away. And then I also drummed to Alanis Morissette because Alanis Morissette is like the poet of my lifetime. And
right, that's really, your go-to.
Oh, yeah. I love her. And when I was doing this, it was funny. I got a text from my friend Catherine Gallagher. Catherine Gallagher starred in that Netflix series called You. And she's also been on Broadway for Jagged Little Pill. So she was texting me about Moldavite. Anyway, so we were texting. And she's like, what are you doing? And I sent her a picture of me with my drum. I go, well, I'm drumming to Cher right now. And so I have a photo to prove it. And of course, she's like, I love everything about this, and understood because she's an artist, right? And
right.
So
I was going to say, actresses would know. You have to embody it.
You have to move and
drumming
that energy.
Is such a great elf activity, right? Because it literally hits the ground, it hits the earth, it hits the body, all that.
My right hand hurts today from it still because I was going to town and I'm still married, so it didn't upset Suzanne too bad. But I'm
like, Suzanne's extraordinary.
She is, right? She's a very patient woman. But the thing is that it cleared, right? Mm-hmm. It brought it, my vibe was up, it cleared. And I was in the most fantastic mood yesterday once I did that.
And you set your intention for what was going to happen in the drumming session. You didn't just like, I'm bored.
No, it was all about.
I don't really have this outline. I'm going to write. It's all intention.
It was all about the higher good, and the higher good for us as co-hosts, and the higher good for, you know, our listeners. But so drumming's another way. Burning things is a method, right? I mean, I'm the queen of burning shit. Now, it doesn't mean like the guy down the street from me who burns, you know, his branches. Because he just needs, he's not going to throw it in the dumpster. He just burns it, right?
He's clearing his land, right? And so burning things in general is not have to do with ritual. And it absolutely is part of ritual, right? So like, that's what I mean. We just have to discern what is mundane, which is no judgment. We need, you know, things, do we need dishes cleaned? We need, there's all kinds of things.
Right, there's practical,
the
functional
world.
Things. Right. But there's ways to transcend those into a ritual. Like burning for me is I'll write things down, things I need to remove or things I want to send up or release.
Or surrender.
Yeah. So the act of writing something down and by burning it, this very Native American, this is very much what they've practiced since the dawn of. And it's about, you know, because smoke moves up towards the sky, towards the heavens. And so that is one of my rituals that I do to release, to remove, to the, you know, those things that we were just talking about.
And you can also, there are other, depending on your element, right? So, or depending if you're working with the moon cycles or something like that, if you get on, you know, brenda-rose.com, you can find different moon rituals for new moons and full moons. And for full moons, releasing, so if it's something like in Taurus, if it's in one of the earth elements, you can take biodegradable paper, write it down, tear it up in tiny, tiny pieces, shred it and bury it in the earth, you know, bury it low so it can...
That's very witchy.
It is very witchy.
Burying shit is a witchy thing. We've all learned that, succubus.
But we can also do it in water. We can do it in air or fire, you know, like burning it. So there's all kinds of ways to do it. So again, doing it with intention and how you tease out the rituals, whether it's singing or drumming or dancing it out, or there's all kinds of ways that you can activate it. And we'll discuss more when we come back from this break.
Of course we will.
Of course we will.
And we are back again from another Brenda break. Thank you, Brenda.
<You're welcome. laughs>
So there's another method we saved for last. I want to hit on this one because it's one that is very near and dear, certainly to my heart. I know it is to yours. And that is working with stones and crystals as part of a ritual. You know, you can sit there and hold a rock, right? You can hold a rock. but you can also hold a rock and it can become a ritual. So mm-hmm. you can have a mantra attached to it. You can have the thoughts that you, the energy that you are seeking from said stone. And that is a ritual. I mean, I carry those things, you know, we've joked before about how I put rocks in my bra. Well, I mm-hmm. do that. I do it with intention. Mm-hmm. I have put Iolite in my bra because I was ready to go full on. I needed some creativity. I have put rose quartz in there because it was all about some self-love at a tough time. I have also been very known to keep smoky quartz in there to release what I don't need because sister got to do that. So all of that is very ritualistic, which is why, and I don't want to make this a commercial about, you know, our store, but it's why we're creating these pouches with a purpose, is because that purpose is really a ritual.
And you can throw those pouches in your backpack, in your handbag, and just carry them with you. And like, just when you're moving through your world or in your conversation, just remembering it, like connecting it to your heart. If you, it's not appropriate for you to reach into your bag and go, wait, I need to hold this pouch for while we have this conversation.
Oh, I've like done that. Is that not appropriate?
Sometimes it is.
I've literally walked into a meeting with rocks in my hands. That's so funny that you say that. Someone's like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, nothing. And I'm twirling these rocks in my hand like a crazy person.
But, you know, sometimes, but you can just connect with it. You can literally connect with it. And so there's lots of ways to do it. And I will also say, for me, you know, I'm very specific about the jewelry I put on for the work I'm doing that day. It's just another way to do it. Now, it's, you know, of course, I like to, you know, finish off in a nice way when you're on Zoom. But mostly it's the energy behind it. And so it's not, crystals and stones have always been used for rituals in this way, whether it's going to war or priests or healing, you know, they've always been around for that.
Oh yeah, the history of rubies, the history of sapphires, the emeralds, history of lapis, citrine, emeralds, yeah, citrine, all of that, all ritual, mm-hmm. totally beautiful. Ritual. I mean, beautiful. They would have those stones on breastplates mm-hmm. of warriors. Mm-hmm. That's just incredible.
And crowns,
to me.
Right?
And crowns. And Iolite was used by the Vikings to find their way home.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's like, it's just, there's the rich history in them because they have for so long been part of that ritualistic part of who we are as humans. So you spent a bit of a time before we start talking about the methods, talking about the different purpose, intention of ritual. So mm-hmm. you talked about many, going down the list, it's like there's, you can have rituals for sleep, which I think you need, not to out you, but
I have
that.
Many rituals for sleep, trust me.
Good Lord, I think I'm going to get one that's going to be a baseball bat and just whack upside the head with it. That'll put you to sleep for a little while. Gratitude, you know, gratitude.
Gratitude is a beautiful, beautiful way to do it, yeah.
If you had to pick one, just one, pick gratitude. It changes you. It changes mm-hmm. the makeup of who you are. When you are grateful, when you're grateful just having another day on the planet, it changes.
The concept. So let's face it, you know, in this global pandemic, some days are easier than others and disappointments are many and frustrations, you know, people are getting all tapped out. And the gratitude lens that you can approach some of these things with is this concept of this is happening for my benefit instead of this is happening to me.
Right.
This happened to me as a victim. Right. But when I'm approaching my life with gratitude, even in a global pandemic, this is happening to my benefit. Right. I may not know what that is yet, but I know because it's happening. So it has to be to my benefit. I love that so much. It's beautiful.
Oh, I do too. And forgiveness. You know, forgiveness is another really great way to set up another great aspect of setting up a ritual is, and it's not just forget, because people, it's funny, I've talked about this before and somebody's like, well, I have so many people on my list that need to forgive. Rah, rah, rah. You know, they do that rah, 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 rah thing. And I'm like,
not okay,
why
people.
Don't you start with yourself?
Yeah, well, that's my, you know, that's my Saint Germain prayer of forgiveness. Forgive me and all of humanity, right? But I go first because I know how many ways have I messed up today?
Right.
How many ways have I not been enough? And I turn it over. I turn it over. And so why not choose forgiveness? Because Earth School is hard. Right. So
is it
and let that be a ritual to release your day or to start your day.
Being a Black Panther, protection is a big one for me. Like that is, you know, I'm the protection girl. I mean, and I first and foremost protect myself mm-hmm. because what good am I if I am not protected, right? It's like, it's about love too. It's like, if I don't love myself, I'm not good for other people. Mm-hmm. Like, don't believe me if I say I love you, if I'm not loving myself, because you know, it's like, ugh, don't really know how to do it very well. Herself, so why is she going to do it for me?
Yeah, I know that's what you mean. That's not what you're living. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
We know those people.
Your words are clear.
Yeah.
However,
the words and pictures don't match.
Right. And the words and pictures don't match. You know, and peace is I don't know how many bumper stickers I've seen about, you know, world peace, which would be wonderful to have, but I need peace within myself first. Mm-hmm. So much of the rituals, and as much as we want to give to others, we must give to ourselves first, because again, mm-hmm. we are not good for others if we are not good for ourselves.
Without a doubt. And that's why, for me, yes, absolutely, weave in as much sacredness as you can into the daily activities of just taking care of our earthly life, but also taking the time to create that sacred space, whether it's sprinkling salt around to create, you know, protective ring around you to protect this energy that I'm going to build for the next 10 minutes, 2 hours, whatever it is, you know, whatever your ritual is going to be, 3 days, you know, let's go crazy. But, you know, like, I'm going to create that. And, you know, selenite is a huge way to hold this sacred space and to put it in the corners. And
can I tell you a little something about selenite? We are selling the shit out of selenite. I can't believe so many, they love those selenite swords.
I love my selenite
swords. So we got some people that like hear you loud and clear. So there's a couple of, and I'm just going to share a couple of my rituals for folks. One of the things that I do every night, and this has been the most consistent thing that I have done for years, is would burn a piece of Palo Santo, and I would keep the burnt piece or keep it with me in one of the pottery bowls that I made myself. So those that don't know, I'm a potter. Brenda has some of my work in her house, unless she's hid it.
Nope, I'm looking at some right now.
Sweet. But the things I make are very, because it's, I'm infused in it, like my love is infused in it, so I love to, but I would light a piece of Palo Santo, and I would walk around our bed clockwise, and I would say the Lord's Prayer, prayer protection, gratitude, protect my family, you know, head nod, thanks for giving me another day, big G, all these things. And there was one night I remember that I was really tired and I forgot to do it. And Suzanne goes, baby, where's the Palo Santo smoke? It's like, because she loved it, and it made her feel good. It made her feel protected, you know, and it's one of those really amazing things that I love. I sleep better when I do it. So that has been, I think, one of the most important rituals that I mean, meditation is certainly one, which was hard for me to get into, as we very well know. But what I love so much about meditation isn't what maybe people think, but to me, it's a very humbling experience. Mm-hmm. I am very humbled. And a gal like me needs to be humbled every once in a while. I think we all need to be humbled every once in a while, but it's such a humbling experience. And that's why I do it. I do it because I want to be humbled.
Interesting. And again,
oh, you're like, interesting.
well, and when we, you know, when we keep showing up with this devotion, it's going to redirect us. It's going to inform us, right? We think we create these rituals, you know, out of our brilliance or wisdom or guidance, but then all of a sudden we do it because we're creating this, you know, spiritual highway for us to receive guidance on. And so for you, that's what you got out of meditation, which is perfect for you.
Right? It is.
So we create these things with great intention and specificity and devotion, and then what we get is so much more.
Because it's also understanding, again, about who you are, right? So knowing thyself is very important in this whole process, because there are people who meditate to actually feel like they have more power.
Right.
I am an incredibly powerful human being. I need to be humbled. But
that's,
it's
awesome.
But it's okay.
It's perfect for you. It's a perfect tool. So this is such a great conversation. I just love it so much.
You know, one of the ones that you taught me, though, it was interesting, and people have kind of tilted their head, like when you look at a dog and they don't know what you're doing, they tilt their head. And mine has to do with dead animals, because in where I live, there are a lot of them on the highways, and it is upsetting. It started out being really upsetting for me. And after a while, and I remember you and I talked about it, and mm-hmm. you said, just bless them and thank them for being here. And ever since I started doing that, I feel better about it. And mm-hmm. and I feel better. It's because what I do is I think, and I do it out loud. I mean, you should have seen us when we were driving to North Carolina. I must have like blessed 1,000 critters. Yeah. But I say, thank you for being here. Mm-hmm. I acknowledge that. I also do it with anything leather that I have because of the cow that it came from. And I mm-hmm. thank that cow for sacrificing itself, for giving me, mm-hmm. you know, shoes on my feet or a place for me to sit or whatever it may be. But I thank them for it and let them know that I acknowledge them and that they are in, you know, they're in good hands because I care.
Beautiful.
That's a ritual.
Without a doubt. And along the same lines, one that I do is when you hear a siren, offering a prayer.
Oh, that's like a good one.
For me, I say the Lord's Prayer in Aramaic because that's my go-to, but whatever prayer it is, like send angels or something like that. It's just a nice little community ritual.
Oh, I need to do that. I really like that.
Yeah.
That one's fantastic. Another one that's really helpful for those that drive a lot. I ground my car before I get in it. And by grounding my car, as I visualize the muffler on my car going down to the center of the earth and being anchored in. And that it has been an incredible practice for us. I've actually been doing that for a number of years now and has kept me safe. I appreciate that. Has also kept the popo away. and you actually taught me, cops don't see me, cops don't want me, cops don't see me, cops don't want me. And they don't.
Uh-huh. And I've heard variations on that, which is of dropping four grounding cords off of each wheel that Ooh. Unify underneath the car and go down to the center of the earth, or putting an archangel above you, all around you, and underneath the car, as a buffer. So those are nice.
Oh, that's good.
But again, I just want to review just a little bit the rituals in your life, the forms they take. First of all, they're endless. Like, can you help me with a ritual? Yeah, I can help you with anything. Creating rituals is easy. Just mm-hmm. keep doing it. Just keep practicing it. The more you do it, the more the experience will inform you. And then you can do it again and make adjustments. Like, there's no judgment. It's just an upward spiral of information and learning and guidance that's offered. It's this beautiful experience of creativity and dancing with the divine.
Oh, I love that. And I would really love to hear from you, our listeners, about, and you don't have to do it publicly if you don't want to, just like shoot us a DM to tell us, but I really love to hear about what you're doing, what new rituals, how did this inspire you? Because I'll tell you, I got this really great tweet from one of our listeners, and it was a couple photographs of a water charger that she made. So she made like a coaster when we had H2O episode. And she was inspired and made this beautiful coaster to infuse that energy into the water that she was putting into her body. And so I love that.
Yeah. And that's a ritual now. Yeah.
And that's a beautiful ritual for her now. Yeah. So please share with us, because it's really exciting that we all keep moving to be a better version, right? Be a happier, calmer, sleepy. That one's for you, my witchy poo.
Sleeping. I am already sleepy. I need sleep.
Exactly. And that connecting with the divine, you know, whatever we can do that, we would love to hear what you guys are doing.
Get out there and make some rituals. Because remember, right, our school is hard.
Without the other side. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks, witchy poo.
Thank you, my own. Thanks for joining us, everyone, and a special thanks to our producer, Maya Cole, who guides us while we guide you.
Hit us up on Instagram at OtherSideGuides or shoot us a note at OtherSideGuides@iHeartRadio.com. And you can even call us at 833-22-GUIDE to leave us a message.
We want to know what you think, we want to know what you know, and we want to hear your stories.
And remember,
Earth School is hard
without the other side. Insider's Guide to the Other Side is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.